Today, my dear faithful, is the third Sunday after the Epiphany. Now the epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits, to no man rendering evil for evil, providing good things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as is in you, having peace with all men, not revenging yourselves, my dearly beloved, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, Revenge is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if thy enemy be hungry, give him to eat. If he thirst, give him to drink. For doing this, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. In the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and adored him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, stretching forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to him, See thou tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man subject to authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus, hearing this, marveled, and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. And I say to you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go, and as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at the same hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there is a story of a very pious religious sister who lived within this past century. The story shows this sister's incredible devotion both to the Sacred Heart as well as to souls. This story is related by Father Matteo, a holy priest of this past century, who traveled throughout the whole world spreading devotion to the Sacred Heart. Father Matteo writes that this sister was very devout, but she had a brother who had completely abandoned his faith. The good sister prayed for her fallen away brother every day. She put her trust in the Sacred Heart to convert her brother and to save his soul. Years went by, and her brother moved far away to another country. The sister received news of him only occasionally, but it was only to find that he had delved deeper and deeper into sin. The sister, nevertheless, persevered in her prayers, trusting again in the Sacred Heart. But then one day, the sister received tragic news. Her brother, who had spent his whole life looking for happiness in this world, but as worldly people commonly discover, he found his heart always and every time unsatisfied. He could find no lasting happiness in the momentary pleasures of this world, because of course that is not what our hearts were made for. We were made for God. And so this man found it only served to fill him with growing and growing guilt instead of joy. And so, one day, driven to despair, he decided to end it all and so he jumped from her bridge. Of course, his family and friends mourned over him. They wept bitterly over not just the loss of his life, but even more for the loss of his soul. For an unrepented suicide such as this can only condemn a person to hell. His family thus gave up all hope for him, all his family except for his sister. She still prayed for her poor sinful brother, because this good nun thought of all the prayers and sacrifice she had offered for her brother throughout all these years. She could not believe that our Lord would let all of these good works have no effect. Again, she put her trust in the Sacred Heart and redoubled her prayers for the poor sinful brother. And then, one night, while she was lying in bed, she was suddenly awakened. Though it was the middle of the night, her room was lit with a flickering light, like the light from a fire. She sat up to see where this light came from and quickly found the source. Her brother, who had just passed away, was standing at the foot of her bed, but he was covered with leaping flames. The fire covered his entire body, and yet on his face there was peace, calm, even happiness. The sister wondered for a moment at the sight, thinking of the agony that burning flame must cause, and yet marveling at what joy there was on her brother's face. But she wondered only for a moment, for her brother interrupted her thoughts. He said, "Thank you for praying for me. Because of your prayers, God gave me the grace to make a perfect act of contrition as soon as I jumped from the bridge. I am now suffering in purgatory for my sins." Then, just as suddenly as it came, this consoling vision ended. The sister found herself again in a dark room, but that did not matter to her at that moment. She now believed her brother, despite his life of sin, had indeed been saved by the infinite mercy of the Sacred Heart. And she again resolved to offer fervent prayers for him, this time for his release from purgatory. This story, my dear faithful, is a most extraordinary example of the divine grace and mercy which can be obtained by prayer. Prayer can move the heart of God to grant such wonders, as it did as well in today's gospel. For in today's gospel, two men faced death, but out of prayer, they were spared. The first man was the leper who faced his own death, while the second man was the centurion who faced not his own, but the death of his servant. Both saw the inescapable fate that was before them, and they turned to the one person who could save them. They went to our Lord and asked our Savior to give the cure. The leper bowed low, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." While the centurion so humbly told Christ, "Only say the word, and my servant shall be healed." These two men knew that, of themselves, they could do nothing to stop the fate that presented itself to them. But they trusted in the divine power and the mercy of the Almighty God. And their prayer, so humble, so trusting, moved the heart of our Savior. They were saved from death, the leper cleansed at that very moment, while the centurion soon found his servant fully healed. Now, my dear faithful, each of us face much the same situation, because each of us face the inescapable fate of death. Not a single person is sure of when he will die. We may have 50 more years of life, or only one more hour. Not another moment of life is promised to us, and no moment of life is so important as the moment of death. all eternity will be decided by that single instant. Whether we will enjoy eternal life in heaven or eternal death in hell, each of us will receive one of these sentences based on whether or not we are in the state of grace when we die. That is the inescapable fate we face. And the only way to ensure that we will receive eternal life in heaven is to ask for it. Of course, we must live and strive to live in the state of grace. We must follow the moral law as revealed by God and taught by His church. We must receive the sacraments, struggle to practice virtue, and fight to avoid sin. However, united with these good works and necessary to fulfilling them, prayer is the most essential means of saving our souls. Our weakness demands constant help to live the moral law. St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor, dedicates 10 articles in his supreme work, the Summa, to the necessity of grace. In each of these articles, St. Thomas explains again and again, we can do nothing without the helping hand of God. We cannot think, we cannot move, we cannot exist without God's will supporting us. Nor can we perform a single good deed without the grace of God. How much more then, to gain the supreme goal of eternal life, must we have the help of God? Another doctor of the Church, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, adds that to receive this grace, we must ask for it. St. Alphonsus puts this very simply in these words, he who prays will certainly be saved. He who does not pray will certainly be lost. This is how God has arranged the economy of grace. We ask for the grace, and it is given to us. If we do not ask, the grace may not be given. In the story, if the religious sister had not prayed for her brother would not have been given the grace he needed to make a perfect act of contrition in those few moments. That is an outstanding miracle. At the last moment, the last chance to have the grace to think not of the water that faced him beneath his feet, but, I'm sorry, my God, for offending you. That is a miracle. And thus, only because of her prayers was he given the grace he needed. And so it was too in today's gospel. If the leper and the centurion had not asked our Lord for the grace of a miraculous cure, the leper would have suffered his slow, torturous death, while the servant of the centurion most likely would have died as well. These lives were saved on account of their prayers. And so it is with us and the life of grace in our soul. Grace is absolutely necessary for us to save our souls. And prayer is absolutely necessary for us to gain this grace. Our Lord taught us to pray always and never cease. He taught us this by His own example. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with infinite strength and holiness, spotless innocence, and yet He never ceased praying throughout His life. He would even give up whole nights in prayer, such as he did the night before he chose the apostles. Our Lord did not need to pray for grace, to ask for enlightenment of who to choose. He had already determined who would be his apostles from all eternity. He is the source of grace, infinite holiness of self. And yet, he prayed so often, so long, and so ardently to give us an example. The saints learn this lesson well, for they pray to God without ceasing. It is easy to forget sometimes that the saints were not heavenly beings. They were not incapable of sin and free from all temptation. They suffered the same temptations, the same weaknesses, even the same faults that we have. They became saints by struggling to carry their crosses and overcome themselves. And their first weapon was, is, and always will be prayer. Your salvation, my dear faithful, truly does hang on your prayers. As St. Alphonsus put it, for adults, prayer is necessary because in the ordinary providence of God, if we neglect to ask for the grace needed for salvation, we cannot be saved. Nothing is so important as this, then, that you save your soul. And so, following the example of Christ and so many saints, pray every day for a good and holy death. One of the most practical prayers for this is probably one of the first prayers that you learned as a child, the Hail Mary. For in the Hail Mary, we pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. We ask our Blessed Mother to obtain for us the grace we need now, at this moment, to live our lives according to the law of God. And then we beg her for the grace we will need at that terrifying moment when we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Every day, we can use the Hail Mary to ask Our Lady to be there with you throughout your life and at the time of your death. For every new day may be your last. And of course, strive to pray this humble, sweet prayer devoutly. Think about what you are saying. Realize the importance of these words and mean them. Never let a single day pass without at least one devout Hail Mary for that intention, for the grace of final perseverance. Ask our Blessed Mother to watch over you, to comfort you, and to strengthen you throughout life. This is the least you can do to honor her, who is always praying for you. And of course, we should pray her rosary every day to show our love for Our Lady and to petition for her help. But no matter what, I say again, never let a day pass without praying the Hail Mary. For that intention, that Mary be there at your final moments, and that she earned the grace of final perseverance for you. Looking to God and Our Lady for your strength, my dear faithful, and with them you cannot be overcome. Every day ask for the grace to persevere in grace, and to save your immortal soul, and you will, please God, enjoy everlasting happiness in the next life. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.